Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinalayam, the most happening place, the most beautiful place, the most sublime place on the planet. And after the Vedam, it is time for bhajans. I'm Team Radio Sai Bishu, and I just want to tell you something which I came across very recently. A beautiful experience. It was nice to hear. I was talking to some devotees from Turkey who were part of a Sai retreat program from the Middle East region. And as I was interviewing them, this gentleman, Mr. Orçun Doğan from Turkey, he said one of the reasons why he is so much in the Sai organization and what has fascinated him about Bhagwan and his mission is the bhajans, the Sai bhajans. And he said he loves the Sai bhajans. He may not understand the meaning, but he just loves the feel, the tune, the mood, the everything. And in fact, in their Sai center there, Mr. Rafi, who is the chairman of one of the Satya Sai centers there, said that they always sing Sanskrit bhajans. Only once a week, they have one bhajan which is in Turkish language, but otherwise they sing in Sanskrit bhajans. And they try to understand the meaning, and this Radio Sai Bhajan classroom, this Bhajan tutor has helped them to know the meaning, and they were actually so happy that this program is on Radio Sai, because it is helping them to know what each word means, apart from learning the tune and the other aspects of bhajan singing, other aspects of a particular bhajan. So that was something which really gladdened my heart, and I was, after that, speaking to so many other devotees from the Middle East, and all of them said that this is something that is really helping them. And I just could not thank Bhagwan enough for having given us this opportunity of making this program and being with us and ensuring that, you know, this program over the years, over the weeks, over the months only gets better. When it started, it was not a 45 minutes program. It was a 10 minutes program, and over the years we have added new elements to it, and that is how it has acquired this new comprehensive shape. But actually now we feel constrained of 45 minutes, because we know we can do so much more for every bhajan. We can actually make it a 1 hour program, we can make it a 1 hour 15 minutes program, but we are just trying to stick to this grammar of 45 minutes and trying to fit everything that we want to convey in this stipulated duration. So, dear listeners, if you have any more suggestions to this program, you are most welcome, and we are really happy offering this to you every week. All of my colleagues in the studio, Anirudh and Anand, Arvind Sai, all of them contribute. Ravi from the hospital comes, and that is how this program happens. So thank you so much for being with us and sharing your feedback and telling us how you like this program, what you do not like about this program, and tuning in and benefiting from this program. So let's move on. We have a new bhajan to learn this week as always, and we begin by offering our salutations to Bhagwan.
Let us offer our most reverential and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. O Lord, please bless us so that we know that you are the only power that animates our every being. You are the only love that is worth experiencing. You are the only source which can fill us with bliss inexplicable. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The bhajan we will be learning today is dedicated to adoring our beloved Bhagwan as Lord Shiva. This bhajan is in Hindi, and the first line goes like this.
Nacho he Nataraj Shiva Shambho.
So that is the bhajan we will be learning today, and like always, we will first become familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan, and then we'll move on and learn its raga, the beat, the meaning of its every word, and in the end they will listen to a small excerpt of your conversation with Dr. Vamsi Juluri, a Sai devotee. He is an author and professor of media studies in the University of San Francisco, USA. He has a very beautiful insight on the Shiva Tattva. So that is coming up towards the end of the program. For the moment, let's get started with the lyrics.
Nacho He Nataraj Shiva Shambho Hara Bholenath Shiva Shambho Shiva Shambho Shiva Shambho Dama 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 Damaru Baje Hara Bholenath Shiva Shambho Hara Sai Nath Shiva Shambho.
In order to know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow him after every line. You too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh. This will help you to get a good idea of how this bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C Madhyam. Nacho he Nataraj Shiva Shambho.
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 Har Bholenath Shiva Shambho.
Har Bholenath Shiva Shambho.
Har Bholenath Shiva Shambho.
Har Bholenath Shiva Shambho.
Shiva Shambho. Shiva Shambho.
Shiva Shambho. Shiva Shambho.
Shiva Shambho. Shiva Shambho.
Shiva Shambho. Shiva Shambho.
Gama dama 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 rubaje.
Gama dama 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 rubaje.
Gama dama 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 rubaje.
Dama 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 rubaje.
Shiva Shambho.
Har Bholenath Shiva Shambho.
Har Sai Nath Shiva Shambho.
Har Sai Nath Shiva Shambho.
Nacho he Nataraj Shiva Shambho.
So you heard brothers Ravi Kumar and Anirudh demonstrate to you how this bhajan flows. And now let us learn a little more. What makes this bhajan acquire this tune? What are the swaras behind this composition? And Anirudh is here with us to enlighten us on this. So tell us, Anirudh, what is the raga behind this composition?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
The raga behind this composition is Hindolam, which we call in the Carnatic music.
Yeah.
And in the Hindustani music, we call it Malkons.
Okay.
It's a very familiar raga in the sense there are so many compositions, bhajans or songs like in Telugu devotional songs, many are there in this raga, mm-hmm. film songs also.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do the swaras, actually we can see it is almost, except the first line, all the other lines belong to Hindolam or Malkons.
Okay.
Only the first line a bit deviation from the Malkons.
Okay.
And the raga Malkons is like this.
Yeah.
Sa
ga ma da mi sa sa ni da ma ga sa sa ga
ga is komal ga minor ga
yes
ma dha
dha is komal dha
yeah.
ni
ni is ni one komal ni
sa ni dha ma ga sa
so these are the five notes of the raga malkons
yeah so please go on Anirudh if you can demonstrate to us the beauty of this raga
sure
Wish we continue this. I think for all those of us who really love music, for those years are trained to listening to classical music, I think would have definitely would want this to continue. But let's come back to bhajans because we are into bhajan singing, and we have all learned music because we wanted to sing bhajans.
Yeah, some people like they take up music seriously.
Yeah.
So that they go to the structure of the composition, like what we do, like
yes.
breaking down into each swara, sing the note exactly and sing the tune.
Yes. Yeah.
And some people relate to the raga. They learn the raga yes. and they sing the bhajan in the raga.
Yeah. You learn so that you can sing bhajans well.
Yeah, definitely.
That is the only purpose of yeah. learning music. So for many of us, it is like that.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, for like people in the Sai bhajan
world.
Yeah, world.
Yes,
yeah.
It is
so. Mainly, like since Swami has emphasized bhajan singing so much,
absolutely,
so it becomes a necessity to learn bhajan
yes.
everywhere.
Yes. So, Anirudh, shall we go on to the swaras?
Yeah,
this, bhajan.
We'll go to the first line where the deviation is there.
Okay.
We'll start off with the deviation.
Okay.
नाचो हे नटराज शिव शंभो मद सरी सरी दनी सासा
So in this line you would have noticed the re has come into the picture.
मद सरी
Yeah.
If it is in Hindolam exactly it should be like
मद सनी नाचो हे नटराज शिव शंभो
I don't know exactly, maybe the composition was like that or over a period of time when we sing in Mandir.
Yes.
I don't know exactly what
it is. It's watered down to this,
yeah.
but anyway, every bhajan is unique.
मद सनी धनी सासा हर भोलेनाथ शिव शंभो मदनी नी दमनी
मदनी नी दमनी
शिव शंभो शिव शंभो Dani ga ga mag sani dani sa sa
Dani ga ga mag sani dani sa sa
Dama 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 ru baje ga 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 sa ga ni sa ga
ga ga ga ga ga ga ga ga sa ga ni sa ga
har bhole nath shiva shambho mama ga mama ga ma ga sa ni da sa sa
mama ga mama ga ma ga sa ni da sa sa
That's lovely.
So Anirudh, are there more bhajans in this raga?
Yeah, there are many bhajans in this raga.
Yeah.
Some of them are Hari Om Namah Shivaya. Very famous, beautiful bhajans.
Yes.
Also you have Jai 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 He Gajanaha.
Yeah.
One more Ganesha bhajan. Gauri Nandana Balagajanana Shiva Maheshwara Shiva Maheshwara Ramacharane Sukhira So many bhajans are
there. Yes, beautiful. So shall we move on to the beat now?
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is regular 8 beat, Aditalam.
Yeah.
And the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3
nacho he natara shiva shambho nacho he natara shiva shambho har bhole nath shiva shambho har bhole nath shiva shambho
Thank you so much, Anand, for demonstrating that on the tabla and Anirudh, as always, for everything.
Thank you, Vishnu.
Thank you, Vishnu.
Sayonara.
So now we are familiar with the lyrics, the raga and the taal of this bhajan. Let us move on to understanding the inner feeling which we should offer to the Lord every time we sing this bhajan. And for this, we need to know the meaning of all the words in this bhajan. So let's start with the first line.
नाचो हे नटराज शिव शंभो
The first word here is nacho, which means dance. The second word is he, which is a manner of calling out endearingly to someone. The third word is nataraj, which means king of dance, as nata refers to dance and raj means king. This is another name by which Lord Shiva is adored. Now, why is the Lord hailed as the master dancer? What does this dance refer to? The moment the word Nataraja is uttered, the image that comes to the mind of anyone familiar with Indian culture is a famous sculpture of Lord Shiva in a dance posture, which is the main deity in the famous temple at Chidambaram in the state of Tamil Nadu in South India. Lord Shiva here is seen dancing in an aureole of flames, lifting his left leg while his right leg balances over a dwarf demon. The Lord is also depicted as having four arms. On one of his right hands, he holds the damaru or an hourglass-shaped small drum, while the other hand is an abhimudra or palm open in blessing. The upper left hand of the Lord contains agni or fire, while the lower left hand points to the raised foot of the left leg. There is also a snake swirling around his waist, while on his forehead is the third eye, which is open. Now, this is in brief the description of this fantastic imagery of Lord Shiva, which is often hailed as the most extraordinary iconographic representation of the rich and deep spiritual heritage of India. In fact, this elegant and dynamic symbol consolidates in a single image many subtle and profound meanings of the nature of divinity as understood by enlightened sages of yore. Every posture of the Lord has a deep significance. For example, the upper left hand holding the damaru or the small drum signifies sound, the sound of creation which resonates in every speck of this universe. And the upper right hand, which has the fire, connotes destruction or dissolution. So these two imageries symbolize the cosmic cycle of creation and dissolution, the eternal play of birth and death. The lower right hand is in a posture of blessing, that is, conferring fearlessness and offering protection to those who follow the divine path. And the lower left hand, which points to the foot of the raised left leg, has a deep meaning. It beckons one and all to take refuge at the feet of the Lord, to escape from the fury and the trials of material existence, to free oneself from the cycle of birth and death. And the dwarf demon, subdued by Lord Shiva, represents ignorance or our ego. The snake swirling around the Lord's body is the Kundalini Shakti, or the potent divine energy principle which permeates and activates everything in creation. The third eye, which is open, signifies that the Lord is omniscient. He knows the past, the present and the future. Similarly, the four spread out hands demonstrate that He is the master of the four directions. He is omnipresent. The deer skin, the holy ash, the swirling matted hair of the Lord as He dances, all of these signify supreme renunciation. The face of the Lord is stoic. He is unaffected and in perfect equipoise. As He dances the world in and out of existence, this cosmic dance is called Ananda Tandava, the dance of bliss, and this dance truly is a pictorial allegory of the principal manifestations of the cosmic energy in the form of creation, preservation and dissolution. And that is why this description is described as the clearest image of the activity of God. What is more interesting is how modern day physicists have related to this cosmic dance so beautifully. Fritjof Capra, the Austrian born American physicist, in his book The Tao of Physics says, I quote, "Every subatomic particle not only performs an energy dance, but also is an energy dance. Every particle goes through a pulsating process of creation and destruction without end." And so, for the modern physicist, Shiva's dance then is the dance of subatomic matter. Unquote. What is even more fascinating is that in 2004, a 2-meter statue of the dancing Shiva was unveiled at CERN, the European Center for Research in Particle Physics in Geneva. And this is what the special plaque placed next to this Shiva statue states. I quote again, "Hundreds of years ago, Indian artists created visual images of dancing Shivas in a beautiful series of bronzes. In our time, physicists have used the most advanced technology to portray the patterns of the cosmic dance. The metaphor of the cosmic dance thus unifies ancient mythology, religious art, and modern physics." Unquote. So that is a glimpse of the deep meaning associated with this appellation of the Lord Nataraja. The fourth word in this line is Shiva. Literally, Shiva means auspiciousness. During the Shivratri discourse of 1973, Swami said, "Shiva means all graciousness, ever auspicious, sarva mangalam." That is the reason why the epithet Shri, which indicates these qualities, is not added to the name Shiva. It is added to the number of avatars because they have taken on perishable bodies for a specific purpose. They have to be distinguished from other humans by the epithet Shri, like Shri Rama, Shri Krishna. But Shiva is eternally gracious, auspicious, mangalam, and so the epithet of Shri is superfluous. This is what Bhagwan said. The fifth word is Shambho, which is another appellation of Lord Shiva, and it can be split as Sham, meaning peace and bliss, and Bhu means to cause. So Shambho refers to Lord Shiva as the bestower of peace and bliss. So hence, when we sing this line, Nacho He Nataraj Shiva Shambho, we hail the cosmic orchestrator of this universe, the ever auspicious one, who is ever engaged in conferring on us comfort, peace and ananda. Let's move on to the second line.
Har Bhole Nath Shiva Shambho.
Hara is another name often used for Lord Shiva, and it means destroyer. Bhagwan says that this word is derived from the root har, which means to destroy or remove. It also has another meaning, that is, to captivate or attract. In addition, it also means to harmonize. Bhagwan explains that these are the functions that God has clothed Himself with. So in this context, Hara means the Lord who destroys our negative traits. He is also the one who enchants and attracts one and all through His all-encompassing love. And the Lord who maintains balance in the entire cosmos. That is what is Hara. Bholenath is an appellation of Lord Shiva again, and it means the one who is easily pleased. A beautiful incident shared by Sister Prashanti, an alumnus of Bhagwan's primary school in Prashanti, comes to mind. Bhagwan's 80th birthday celebrations were going on in full swing in the Hillview Stadium in 2005. Prashanti was in her 8th class at that time. She and her classmates were seated on the ground watching various programs in the morning session, which ended with Bhagwan's discourse and aarti. The children were carefully taken back to the school after the completion of the program. In the afternoon session too, there were many programs in which various singers performed. Swami was very happy. Suddenly it began raining in the stadium. Immediately Prof. Anil Kumar announced, "Devotees here in the stadium are kindly requested not to worry about the rain. Our beloved Bhagwan will take care of everything." When the children heard this, they rejoiced because they were now given full freedom to get drenched in the rain. There was no one to question them. They were thanking Swami profusely because He had told there was no need to get up and go as the rain would stop shortly. And in those few minutes, they thought to themselves how Swami had so nicely given them the chance to get soaked in the rain and at the same time have His darshan and listen to the soothing music. It was surely for them very heavenly. After a while, the rain stopped, and as the day's program ended, the teachers took the children back to the school even before aarti and the concluding speech. They had to do this because there was a lot of rush at the stadium and they were scared that the kids would get lost if they waited till the very end. The children felt sad as they could not have Swami's darshan till the end. But some of the girls came up with a plan. After the entire program, Swami's car would certainly pass through the school grounds, which was their backyard. So they decided to wait for Swami's car near their classroom windows. And they waited eagerly in total excitement. At last, Bhagwan's car did arrive, and as His car passed by slowly, the children screamed from each window, "Happy birthday, Swami!" Bhagwan lovingly turned around, casting His glimpse on all of them, and He smiled an enchanting smile. And Swami then lifted His arm high up into the air and blessed them. This was enough for all the children. It was far more than what they would have got if they had been in the stadium among all the other devotees. Prashanti says that it was a never-to-be-forgotten glorious moment. All the children felt so blessed to have had the chance to wish Bhagwan directly. The response that they got from the Lord was so enthralling. In fact, the next day, they somehow got the news that while inside the prayer hall, Swami had told everyone proudly how His children had lovingly wished Him the previous day. So that is the Lord, who is easily pleased with even a simple thing that we do for Him out of our deep love for Him. So in this line, Hara Bholenath Shiva Shambho, we call out to the one who is easily pleased, and we entreat Him to destroy all that is unpleasant in us. He is the entrancing Lord who attracts all, and He is the one who sustains the equilibrium in the entire cosmos. Let's move on to the third line.
Shiva Shambho, Shiva Shambho.
Familiar with the words in this line, but let us dwell on the meaning of Shiva a little more. Bhagwan explains that the name Shiva also refers to the divine consciousness that permeates the entire cosmos. He says, "Who is Shiva? The divine consciousness pervading all the living beings is none other than Shiva. This Shiva Tattva, divine consciousness, permeates the birds, bees, animals, everyone." If we carefully analyze this aspect once, it will be obvious that all that we witness around is Shiva consciousness and nothing else. Shiva does not mean a particular form with matted hair and tiger skin. Wherever we look and whichever form we come across, whether a child or an elderly person, whether a woman or a man, in every form the Shiva consciousness is resplendent. How can you describe that consciousness or even limit it to a particular time and space? So that is what is Shiva, and that is what is conveyed in this beautiful line. Shiva Shambho, Shiva Shambho. Let's move on to the next line.
Dama 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 rubaje.
Dama refers to the sound that emanates from the little drum. Damaru, as seen earlier, refers to the small drum that Lord Shiva holds in his hand. And the other word in this line is bhaje, which means to play. During Shivratri discourse of 2008, Swami said, what is the form of the primordial world? It is pranava or om. And God is embodied in sound. All other forms of energy emanate from it. In the same way, the sound of Shiva's drum when he performs his cosmic dance contains the sound of all the musical instruments. And that is why Lord Shiva is hailed as the source of all music. And that is what is conveyed in this line, Dama 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 Damru Baje. He is the cosmic originator of everything that our ears can hear or cannot hear. Every moment in the universe is associated with the sound, and he is that sound. Let's move on to the fifth line.
Har Bhole Nath Shiva Shambho.
Let us understand a little more what the name Hara means. Hara is said to be used to address Lord Shiva because he takes over the agonies and troubles of his devotees out of his unbounded compassion. Well, just as Lord Shiva drank poison to save humanity from destruction, Bhagavan too takes the problems and worries of his devotees. Swami says, give all your worries to me and take joy from me. It is like exchanging 1,000 paise for a 10 rupee note. It would be easy to carry a 10 rupee note instead of 1,000 paise. Just thinking of Bhagwan makes us forget all our worries, and his smile blossoms on our lips. He is the one who bears the burdens of all our troubles and fills us with strength to remain peaceful all the time. Bhagwan gives another insightful explanation of the name Shiva. He says, Shiva also stands for humility. A person with humility is the embodiment of Shivam or auspiciousness. A person with ego, on the other hand, is verily a savam or a corpse. So in this line, Hara Bhole Nath Shiva Shambho, we offer our loving salutations to the Almighty One who takes upon all our worries and troubles and confers peace. He is the one who teaches us to be humble at all times. Let us now move on to the last line.
Hare Sai Nath Shiva Shambho.
The only new word here is Sai Nath, referring to beloved Bhagwan. During the Shivratri discourse of March 1973, Swami reveals several lessons that the form of Lord Shiva teaches us, which he says we should strive to practice in our lives. Swami said, consider the significance of the form that Shiva has assumed for human adoration. In his throat he has the holocaust producing poison, halahala, which can destroy all life in a trice. On his head he has the sacred river Ganga, whose waters can cure all ills here and hereafter. On his forehead he has the eye of fire. On his head he has the cooling, comforting moon. On his wrists, ankles, shoulders and neck, he wears deadly cobras which live in life-giving breath of air. And Shiva lives in the burial ground and the burning ghat, the Rudra Bhumi as it is called, the land of Rudra. This place is no area of dread. It is an auspicious area, for all have to end their lives there at the close of this life or a few more lives. Shiva is teaching you that death cannot be shunned or frightened away. It has to be gladly and bravely met. That is what Lord Shiva teaches us. Death is not something to be afraid of, but to be accepted calmly. We only have to think of the Lord all the time and He will surely will take care of us in this moment, our last moment and moments thereafter. Bhagwan further added, Shiva is said to go about with a begging bowl. He teaches that renunciation, detachment and indifference to good fortune or bad are the paths to attain him. So he has the poison hidden in his throat and the beneficent moon. and both these two are welcome. This is a lesson for man to keep away from others all harmful tendencies and to use for their benefit all useful traits that he can command. If one uses his skills for his own advancement and uses his evil propensities to put others down, then he is only taking the road to ruin. So in this life, Hara Sai Nath Shiva Shambho, we pay our obeisance to Lord Sai Shiva, who teaches us to be courageous, to have his name in our hearts. We bow down to the Supreme Master, who teaches us to always help others with our skills and never ever cause even the slightest degree of hurt in the other person. So there are many ways that we can ruminate on what is conveyed in this bhajan, and we have done to some extent in our own ways try to fathom what this bhajan could convey to us, and it is left to each one of us to ruminate more on what we can gather from this beautiful bhajan. And now let's move on and listen to this bhajan once again, sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir.
नाचो हे नटरा शिव शंभो नाचो हे नटरा शिव शंभो बर भोले नाथ शिव शंभो भोलेनाथ शिव शंभो शिव शंभो शिव शंभो शिव शंभो शिव शंभो नाचो हे नटरा शिव शंभो
a small excerpt of a conversation with Dr. Vamsi Julue. He is a Sai devotee, an author and professor of media studies in the University of San Francisco, USA. He shares his Sai Shiva experience.
Over the years, many, many songs have become not just favorite in an aesthetic way, also in a poetic way, in a philosophical way, but also sometimes in very powerful and mystical ways. Mm-hmm. One example I'd like to share is a very rare song which even a lot of my elders from the Telugu world have not quite been able to tell me the history of, called Tandava Keli Salpane.
Mm-hmm.
Tandava Keli Salpane Parameswarudu Shambhashivudu. And this is a song that I found on a CD of songs sung by Swami in his earlier days, probably in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought the CD and put up with me many years ago, and I used to listen to it, and there were many great songs in that CD, you know, sung by Swami. You know, and I know you now have it on your Radio Sai archives. I found it, and you have two or three versions, and I love all of them.
Okay.
And but the original one that Swami sang, perhaps was sung by him in some informal setting way back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some songs on that CD too, like Broche Varu and some wonderful songs, you know, which we don't usually sing in the bhajans, you know, so that's why I said they're very rare songs. So Tandava Keki somehow really became my favorite song in the last 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have a small, beautiful Nataraja at home and just here. The joy in the song, you know, and the beauty in it, because Swami, in a very different kind of Telugu, which I don't even know, you know, like classical folksy Telugu from probably the 1930s, 40s, he's describing the dance of Shiva and everybody else, all the gods coming to watch. Ganesha is, you know, bobbing his head in joy, and Nataraja is stomping his foot, going tadim, tadim. And, you know, Trishulam is spinning. So just beautiful imagery in that song.
It's very vivid, and yeah.
It's a very vivid song. And so whatever I could, you know, grasp out of it, and of course, you know, Swami and Shiva, the connection is, you know, very, very deep. And so in 2008, when my wife and I were coming to take Swami's blessings on Shivaratri Day, flew in from San Francisco, and currently we were driving from Bangalore to Patti, and I suddenly realized, you know, I had a song with me on my laptop, so we just kept hearing Tandava Keli again and again, you know, numerous times in the car as we were driving into Patti on Shivaratri afternoon. It was a blazing hot day. And that afternoon, you know, I sat, you know, Swami gave his darshan. He went in his chair very close to me, and, you know, the way I felt his presence that day was very, very powerful. I think that was the only time, or at least the first time after many years I was there on Shivaratri. And you know what they say about Swami being exceptionally intense on Shivaratri, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I could just feel it. I mean, there was some kind of a nuclear or atomic presence about him that I don't know how else to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And it went past me, and then he gave us...
I guess there's a lingam brewing inside, or many lingams, who knows? Who would understand?
Who knows what's going on? I mean, and who knows what's... I mean, we see a little golden lingam, but who knows? Maybe the universe is inside.
Of course.
You know? And we don't really grasp these things.
Mm.
You know? He went past me, and yeah. So I can, now that you said that, I can imagine all the souls in the world, you know, like tiny specks dancing inside his, you know,
cosmic
physical body that day.
Yes.
So, and maybe that's what the pandemonium is about too, you know, so making us all dance to his tune and, you know, making us better dancers, you know.
And I'm sure he experiences a lot of difficulty in making us learn each step, because sometimes we are poor learners.
Oh, yes. You're so right. I mean, I hear from Sai devotees, you know, like, who say, like, every time they suffer something, I say, Swami, you know, are you also feeling this, you know? And so that's a very good reason for us not to harm other people and also not to harm ourselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever, you know, when we're nice to ourselves, you know, I'm sure it reaches Swami too. So, and so the coincidence about the song, and so Swami goes back and he gets his discourse, and you listen to the Swami's discourse, Shivaratri 2008, you will find that a few minutes into his talk, he suddenly starts to sing a song which I know he has very rarely ever referred to in his discourses, as far as I know, and that is Tandava Keli. So,
what do you know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, here is a very rare song which we rarely sing in the bhajans, as far as I know. I listen to it as I'm coming into Patti, and suddenly, you know, he sings that song, you know, and he sang a few lines, and I said, Swami, forgive me, but what are you? How do you know this? You know, what are you giving me here? What kind of a blessing are you, you know, just putting on me over here, and why do I deserve it, you know? And I don't know, I'll just do my best. You help me do my best to live up to whatever it is, whatever grace you're giving to me. And so that's one amazing song story.
So that was Dr. Vamsi Jaduri, Professor of Media Studies in the University of San Francisco, United States of America. And with that, we come to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Class 2. We hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, feel free to send us your feedback. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background music score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. We offer this humble endeavor at the lotus feet of our most merciful beloved Bhagwan.
So with that, it's time to draw the curtains on this segment of Thursday Live. Coming up next is our program based on Bhagwan's discourses, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. And my colleague Sai Prakash is here, waiting with his guest to take over. I will be back after this program for a fresh episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. And today, we will discuss on the theme, the journey from being good, seeing good, to being God, doing God, seeing God. Yes, it's thought-provoking, isn't it? It is, and it is going to be a very enriching session. There is a guest who will be joining me. So all that coming up 1 hour from now. For the moment, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Thank you so much. Sairam.